All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, October 29th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have game four. So plenty of DFS action coming at you guys today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, the individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. We have our build review show that has moved to Mondays and Fridays only at 5 p.m. Eastern, where you can sign up and I will review your builds, lineups, give you some tips and pointers about things I think you can do differently to help your lineup. So that's another great resource that you guys have if you ever want to get signed up. Drop your DK username in the Discord. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review, and I will add you to the list for the next show. All right, we have a lot of questions to get through today, so we are going to jump right in here. We will start with questions in the Discord first, as always, and then jump over to the live YouTube chat. So first question, I have a quick question. After running a build of lineups for NFL or NBA, if a player has, for example, an ownership of 10%, but the exposure is 95% and the pool percentage is 80%, how should we approach that? Should we A, cap ownership to maybe two times the field, or should we match exposure to pool percentage? I've ran into that a lot during the NBA season. Thanks for your help with this. Good question here. So what I will say is that if you try to do this after the build, you're going to run into problems. You know, in 80% of your lineups have a player, it's just such a massive, massive number that it's going to be really hard to find good lineups without them. So if you do want to cap the player, what I would really recommend is coming in here, setting the cap, you know, let's assume you've already built lineups, right? You're going to have to set the cap and then you're going to have to rebuild lineups. That way, only a portion of the lineups in your next rebuild will have that player. So you don't get up to 80%, right? So this is really a question of risk management. I think it's fine to do that if you want to do it. You know, chances are that player is just like a really good play and maybe ownership hasn't updated for like the new sims that have run with, you know, the situation that's causing the player to be so high owned. You know, that's like my first impression of what's going on. It's like, oh, you know, sim runs, they run the build, they get 80% exposure. You know, chances are if you're getting somebody in 80% of your lineups, that player is just like in a really good spot. And it's very possible that, you know, something hasn't updated in as far as like ownership to reflect that. You know, that player is probably going to end up being like closer to like 40% owned or something like that, right? And you're only end up getting like 2x the field. So, you know, something else I would probably consider is like spending a little bit of time looking into why that's happening, right? If you are like, hey, I'm getting, you know, 80% of this guy, I don't know who they are, I don't know what's going on. Well, maybe you need to like go into that team, right? And go and filter by them and try and figure it out. So like what this would look like to me is, okay, I'm getting, you know, 80% Michael Porter Jr. Maybe like, you know, maybe I come into Denver, right? I go scroll down. Oh, Nikola Jokic is out today. Oh, Jamal Murray's out today. Oh, the Nuggets are shorthanded and MPJ is only 5,800 salary and he's going to play way more minutes and get way more usage than he would otherwise, right? In a game where they are in. So sometimes you can come in here and like look at this and be like, hey, does this make sense as to why I'm getting this so much of this player? And if it does make sense, great. You know, maybe you just roll with it. If it doesn't make sense, then maybe you come in here and do some more risk management. But that would be one thing I would be considering. All right. Next question. For NFL Showdown, when looking at high floor, high owned, low risk options, shall I look into the 25th percentile for the high floor and for the ownership above certain X, certain threshold, considering the low risk? Thanks. Also, we used to have ownership fade slider as a slider. What shall be the way to use something similar within the newer update? Okay, so a couple questions here, a couple different questions. So the first one really is asking about player floor percentages, right? So I do think that the 25th percentile is a good marker to use when trying to look at players' floor percentages, right? So like what this would be is just like scrolling over here on the table, going and looking for the players' percentiles. So 25th, 50th, 75th, 85th, 95th, 99th. So remember that like 95th, 99th are going to be, you know, so 99th is technically the player's top 1% outcomes, right? When we look at all of their outcomes in the sim, we're saying like, hey, you know, 1% of the time they score this number, right? And then 50th is the median. So that's like the score that they get most often. And then you have 25th, which is like effectively like a below average score. I would say I would consider that to be like a floor number. Like, okay, you know, 75% of the time they get this very low number. It's way below their average. But this is the score that you could be looking at. So I think 25th is a good number for that. As far as ownership, you know, the reason that we took it away in the first place from a slider is because it was just having an effect on the sims to where we weren't getting like true sim outputs, right? We were getting true sim outputs, but then adjusting the players in the lineup based on like the ownership. And we were like, you know what? We kind of want to wait to do that in the post build, right? So that's why that went away. And that's why average adjusted ownership is a variable in the SaberScore formula. So that's one thing there. But, you know, I know Sammy asked this question. Sammy's on Ultimate. The contest sims are going to be the best way of, you know, figuring out what player combination in a lineup is actually good to use. And so I would stick with doing that. There's nothing really you can do like in the build settings to mimic that. We try to keep ownership adjustments for the post build specifically. So contest sims, geo mean, some ownership filters. You have some options about how to lower the overall ownership in your set of lineups. So, you know, you can do that from filters, right? Just come in here, you know, show me lineups with some ownership less than X, and then put a number here, filter out a percentage of your lineups. That's one option. You could do a geo mean formula with the custom metric. You could just use a contest sims, which obviously the ownership projections come from the field lineups, and the field lineups are what you are simming your lineups against. So that's another way of taking it into account. So one of those three ways are all good options. All right. Could you possibly go into detail about how exactly the rank by tab works in autofill? If I'm sorting by saber score, should I be matching my contest entry size or do different builds according to my contest size? Okay, good question. So let me get an entries file in here for today. And we could talk about this. So we'll go over to the FanDuel 4-game NBA slate. And let me bring in an entry file. All right. So this is everything I'm playing over on FanDuel today. Let's go to build. Let's run some lineups. And then we'll basically get into the autofill and we'll talk about this. So let's let this run. almost done. Taking a little longer because I forgot to lower it from 5,000 lineups down to 500. My bad. All right. Loading up now. So let's just go to autofill. This was a saber score question anyways. So what I would be doing in autofill is I would be changing the rank buys to the size of the contest. So like, for instance, the piggy bank is like, you know, many tens of thousands of entries, maybe over 100,000. I don't remember. So I would change my rank buy to saber score small slate 50K plus, because small slate is 2 to 5 games. Large slate is 6 or more games. And then I would go through this list, right? And I would do that for everyone. So maybe the quarter is the same, but maybe the single entries are smaller, right? Maybe the single entries are, you know, 100 to 1K, right? Maybe the three max is 1K to 10K. I would be going through here and changing each one to match the exact size of the contest, whatever band that fits into, and then be saving after the fact. Another thing I would be doing is once I've set all of those up, I would then sort by prize pool, because prize pool is, especially if you're using unique rank, is going to make sure that, you know, the best lineups go into the best contest first. And then once they get removed from the pool, they can't be used again. Well, you don't want to fill your lower prize pool lineups first, and then a lineup that could have been good for your highest prize pool can't be used because we're using unique rank, right? So what autofill does, it effectively unchecks all the contests. It selects the top contest in the list. It sorts the lineups by whatever sorting metric you have. And then it applies any uniques, any filters that are contest specific. And then it puts the best lineups into this contest. And then it unchecks this one, moves on to the second one, repeats the same process. Now, if you have unique rank on, what it does is it takes those first lineups out. So I had 31 lineups in the top contest. Those 31 lineups now cannot be reused, even if they do grade out well for the second contest. So that is what autofill does. All right. Next question. Follow up from yesterday's office. Yesterday's question. A lot of our time together in office hours has been spent maximizing sim ROI. And I totally agree with this in theory, but when reviewing some of someone like Giant Squid and other crushers in the $20 Millie Maker, probably $20 NFL Millie main slate, probably the softest contest, they submitted quite a lot of lineups that are actually quite negative ROI, according to SaberSim. Would this just imply that they are heavily adjusting the SaberSim base projections? It doesn't only imply that, right? It's possible they could. You don't really know without knowing somebody's process. But it could be a number of factors that are leading to these differences that you're seeing. So like it, you know, I don't know what his process looks like. You know, I don't know really what anybody's process looks like. It could be that, right? It could be, lineup construction. It could be, you know, maybe people are like removing tight ends from the flex, right? And maybe the simulator actually likes that. You know, I'm not 100% sure I have like a great answer. And sometimes, you know, I think that I've heard people talk about this like from a cash game perspective. So I'll use that as like an example. Sometimes, like, you know, the crushers who play all of the contests, right? Well, they play so many contests that they can't pay attention to all of them. Like if you're looking at like Mock Lovin or somebody playing like a bunch of cash games on like a Sunday, you know, he's probably focused on like his like 10Ks, his 10K head-to-heads, his like bigger dollar head-to-heads and stuff, right? But even though he still plays the $5, you know, he might not be paying as much attention to those, right? Or they might not get as much swaps or anything like that. I'm not saying that's what's happening with Giant Squid here, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, he is somebody who is playing, you know, like, you can go look at how many entries he had, like, in the 555 or in, like, the, you know, multi-thousand-dollar, like, smaller field stuff, you know. Those probably get a lot more of his attention and time and, you know, maybe some, like, lineup due diligence. So that's, like, only, like, one thing I could, like, possibly think of as to why that's happening. It's possible they're adjusting projections. It's possible they're not. I'm honestly not 100% sure. But, you know, let's just, like, go and look real quick. So let's go back to Sunday. Go to the main. So I actually kind of want to see this. So it was a 4K milli this weekend. Go Giant. So he had 7 entries in the 4K milli. Now that is, you know, a total of, I don't know, over $21,000, right? One of these. That's, like, a little bit of, like, the point I'm trying to make is that, like, you know, these other contests might not get as much attention just because they're so much less of a person's, like, entry fees and portfolio. It would be like me, like, you know, if I was paying, like, really, really close attention to, like, the piggy bank, but, you know, I have all these other entries and, like, these other contests. So let's just go and look at how he did. Let's see, 150 sim ROI. Giant Squid, 59% positive sim ROI. You know, that seems, like, pretty good to me. What were the highest? So there are higher ones, you know, in, like, the 100 range. Like, if you're in, like, the 100, then you're probably entering, like, really good lineups. So I don't know. I think there might be, like, a little bit of, like, micro-analyzation going on here. Like, if I would say, like, you know, probably a fine set of lineups. Could his sim ROI be higher? Yes, but it's still, you know, 59%. In that contest. And I think that those are probably really good lineups. So I'm not of the opinion that, like, Giant Squid is doing something wrong. If that makes sense. So take that. Let me know if you have any more questions. All right. Said another way, if I had no other goal except being at the top of the contest list for SaberSim ROI, I would simply not change any projections and sort by ROI, and voila, I've won the contest in SaberSim theoretical land, but the sharps are basically not doing this. What am I missing? So I don't actually think that's going to get you to the top of your contest. And you could try this and you could let me know how it goes, but I'm, like, pretty positive if you just built and submitted the lineups and just came back and saw how they did. You know, I don't think you're going to get there. You know, SaberSim is a strong tool and gives you a very, very good head start. But I think a lot of the best players are doing something and adding value somewhere. You know, all models have, you know, no model is perfect, basically, is, like, what I'm trying to say. And I think that there are opportunities to add value. And, you know, I've talked about this, like, extensively for, like, NBA. I look at a lot of, like, rotational stuff and injury stuff and try and add value in places where I think there are limited amounts of data. You know, you could find spots like that in the NFL all the time with injuries, with super weird situations like the Bucks and their running back situation and looking at ownership for the players and trying to figure out where the field has, like, FUD and, you know, take advantage of those spots. Right. I mean, there's, like, weird stuff like that happens all the time. So I do think, you know, the best players are adding value some way, shape, or form. And I think you just need to figure out, you know, the right way for you. I've talked about the ways that I add value in NBA and shown like free resources about ways to do that on our YouTube channel. So it's a little bit older video, but those concepts still hold true. Let me show that video. All right. That'd be this video, upgrade your NBA DFS process with this NBA research strategy. It's a video Jordan and I did talking about how I'm like looking at teams and trying to dissect them and trying to figure out, you know, possible places that like models aren't accounting for things properly. So that'd be one way to do it. So check that out. But I think that's I think that's a better place to spend your time. All right. Next question. Can you do multiple builds for different providers simultaneously, DK/Yahoo? Also, are there sims for Yahoo NBA? Good question. So yes, you can. You can basically kick off a build in each slate tab that you have available, like simultaneously. The only thing you can't do is kick off multiple builds within the same slate simultaneously. So that's one difference there, but you could do different providers for sure. Now, as far as Yahoo, yes, you can use contest sims for Yahoo, but the biggest thing, and it doesn't matter if we're doing NBA or NHL, but I'll just show NBA. Today is 29th. So the big thing to understand with Yahoo and Owner's Box specifically is that we don't have access to the contest data at all. Like, we have a lot of DK contests. We have limited FanDuel contests, but a good chunk. We have none for Yahoo or Owner's Box. So what you need to do is either one, click the Create Contest Sim button, or two, when you bring in your entry file, all of the data is going to be blank. It's going to look like this over here. So see how like my satellites for FanDuel are all blank down here where none of the sim settings are filled out. You're going to have to manually come in and fill these out. So go in, check a field lineups, set your entrance, set your percent to first, set your cash percent. So like if it's 100 man, you know, $1 contest, you put 100 in the entries. If it's $10 to first, you'd put 10%. And if 25 places get paid, you put 25% in the cash, right? So percent to first is first place prize divided by prize pool. Cash percent is the last paid entry divided by the total entries in the contest. And then you can set your field lineups. Low stakes is $3 and is actually under $5. Flagship is $5 to $30. Medium stakes is $30 to $99. And then high stakes is $100 or more. All right. Next question. Similar to Mav, I'm using autofill, but selecting the ROI for the particular contest in the rank by column and sometimes not getting the top lineups into the contest. So the only thing I could think of is that you're using unique rank and that lineup has already been used. If you don't care if a lineup gets used twice, you're like, you know what? This lineup's the best lineup for multiple contests, and I don't care if it gets used in the top contest and the second contest, then switch your fill method to rank. Rank will allow lineups to be used in more than one contest if they end up grading out well for multiple contests. So that is a way to prevent that from happening if you are okay duping lineups. All right. Good stuff so far. Taking a peek here. No more questions in the YouTube chat or the Office Hours channel. So looks like we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next Office Hours show. Reminder, no build review show until Friday. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will see you all soon. So until then, oh, wait, one more from Maggie. Can you show us an example of using SaberScore versus ROI? Yeah. So, you know, contest sims are just a way, the simplest example I can think of is contest sims are just a way of getting additional sorting metrics, right? So when you run a build by default, your sorting metric is going to be saber score because that gets calculated automatically. Now, if you want to use the contest sims, then you just got to click run, right? And then once the contest sim is finished, then you just change your sorting metric, right? So it is as simple as either using saber score right out of the gate or taking the additional step of running the contest sim. And then what we do is we automatically change the sorting metric to ROI because we're going to assume if you ran the contest sim, you want to use ROI. So that is the only thing that's different. You are basically using a different sorting metric that is not available by default, right? And then you come in here, you have target contest ROI. So remember, the only difference here is that target contest looks at how many contests are chosen at the same time. So I have one contest chosen. It's using the ROI from only this contest, right? If I have two, what it's going to do, it's going to average the ROI across those two contests, right? If I have all of the contests selected, it's going to use the average ROI across all of the contest sims. So you can even see this under a lineup, right? It's going to say average of selected contests. And it looks like I just had the crossover. So that is the only thing it has. But if I had, it looks like maybe the contest sims didn't finish or it hasn't updated. So I would probably rerun this. So let's set this run again. Okay, so now the average is changing. You can see that we saw the crossover, but as more and more sims are finishing, we're seeing the average go. It's like 132, 134, 137, 135. So now, because all the contests are selected, these contest sim, the contest sim data is filling in as we go here. You're going to see this number start to change. So that's what I was talking about there. But that's it. You know, those are the biggest differences. You're getting to your ideal sorting metric, whether that's direct fill, auto fill, whatever it is. All right. Appreciate you guys. I will see you all tomorrow. Until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.